For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Oh! Welcome, my friends, to episode number 233 of MSR Cast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
Horns up, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Listening to a lot of music.
Yeah, there's been a lot of music in the first few months of this year already.
Yeah, especially the last 2 weeks, including tomorrow, which will be Friday.
That's right, as we're recording.
Yeah, we're recording this.
We're showing how the sausage is made.
We're recording this on the eve of the Demons and Wizards release, which is the big one tomorrow, so.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little nervous.
I've heard one song that I wasn't too enamored with, but...
Yeah, the AC/DC one I wasn't wild on, but I actually liked the last single that just came out earlier in the week or last week, so... I don't know. I've sort of like, it's unfortunate for them because they haven't released anything since 2005 and there's all this expectation built up. You really have to try to avoid falling into that trap when you're listening to it. But yeah, I mean, I actually think it'll be, I have high hopes for it. I think it'll be good on the whole, you know, but
besides that one song.
Yeah.
I don't know why they released that as a single. I was like, oh. That's not really helping your cause.
Yeah, it's a strange one. It's puzzling. Yet another example of metal bands pick the worst singles.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of new music on this episode even. A lot of new bands that I've discovered. And man, there's a lot of power metal-ish stuff tonight. Female-fronted power metal.
Yeah, although we got a good mix of stuff, though. There's some doomy stuff in here. And yeah. Even some rock.
Some good old-fashioned
hard rock.
Hard rock.
Does that exist anymore? Yeah.
Apparently it does.
Yeah.
There is still a fan base for it. And sometimes it's just fun, man.
Yeah.
Just put on a nice, catchy, like, hard rock album.
Yeah. You ever listen to this band called Goddard?
Yes.
From Switzerland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then I just get a craving for that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're a great band for that.
They went around for a long time, too.
Yeah.
Cranking them out.
Yeah. From Switzerland.
Switzerland. I thought they were like German.
No.
Oh, wow.
They're like the biggest musical export of Switzerland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're huge over there.
Bigger than Swiss cheese?
I think so.
Wow. Are they religious? Are they holy?
I don't think so. No. Should they be?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to? We talked about you listening to a lot of music. What have you been listening to? Do you try to stay, and Dave and everybody, all the metal geeks, we're all trying to keep up with every new release. There's so much of it. It's hard to do. And I know another buddy of ours, Matt Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, keeping up with new stuff is like we were talking about the Sepultura album that came out the other week.
I've listened to it.
Which I haven't even listened to yet.
Quite good. So.
I try to just hover around the release dates. Lately, I've been just sort of free-forming, just like, oh, if someone recommends something to me that was a couple years ago, in fact, we're playing a band tonight that this album is from 2016, actually. But the reason why we're going to be playing it tonight is because they have a new album coming out in April.
Oh.
And I just got this just sort of opened up everything for me. I'm like going back and listening to albums that are a couple years old. And yeah.
Yeah, I do that a lot, too. I listen to... a lot of the Spotify mixes.
That's where I'm getting a lot of it from, too. Yeah.
If I put it on, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this song in a long time, or this is something I've never heard before. This is really good.
Yeah.
It works because it takes your style, and it breaks it down into like five or six different genres.
Right, yeah.
And every once in a while, it's like, oh, wow, I've never heard this before.
Yeah, I like the playlist. I also think an underrated feature on the service is you're listening to an album and the album stops playing and they just go to the album radio. Or you hear a song you like and you can select song radio.
Mm-hmm.
there's so much good stuff that comes up just by doing that. Just like, yeah, something in this vein. What else? What else is there?
I look forward every Friday morning. And then again, guys, we are not sponsored by Spotify. If they want to,
yeah,
we will take it. But I listen to the release radar every Friday morning.
Yeah, I do too.
It's great.
Yeah. Mine's all over the place.
Mine is too, most of the time.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this first new release.
Uh-huh.
Seven Spires.
Yeah. Really interesting band.
Adrian Cowan.
Yeah.
I saw her live.
Aventasia.
With Aventasia this past year.
Yeah.
And she's going to be opening up for, what is it, Insomnium?
Yeah, in April. They're opening for the spring tour for Insomnium.
That's a weird opening band in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks to like their versatility, though. You know, and that's the one thing I felt when I listened to this new album. I knew about this band a while ago.
Yeah.
When they had their first album, I listened to it. Because I knew that she was going to be on board for the next Aventasia recording. And I was like, I don't know anything about this person. What's she done? And I listened to it and I was sort of like, okay, I see like seeds of potential here. And, you know, seem a little unfocused, but it's a first album. It's rare that a band gets it right on their first album. So I thought at the time, if this band can stay together, maybe three or four albums down the line, they'll have something worked out.
Sure. Second album? That's coming out.
And so this is the second album. And I got to say, like, I was expecting this album to be like, okay, an improvement. I really think they knocked this out of the fucking park.
Oh, you think
like,
so?
I think it's astonishingly good. And I think it's like, it's one of these things where I don't know what they did differently, but they really have kind of found their sound. The songwriting is elevated. There's a lot of intelligence behind the songwriting. I think the band's sound is so versatile. She does really good screaming vocals. Not everyone who can sing as well as she does.
No.
Can
she
do
sort
that.
Of have listening to it, she sort of has three styles. She has the operatic, you know, almost, you know, professional sounding, you know, vocal style, and then she sort of has that screaming style that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then she goes into the full like growl stuff, and it's sort of a higher pitch, so it definitely reminds me of like Danny Filth at times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, I guess that would be a good thing. Danny Filthin is more mid-range.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's operatic. I think when I think of her voice is more of like a...
Okay, maybe operatic's not the right word I was looking for.
She reminds me of Sarah Squadroni from Ancient Bards, like a clean, soaring kind of, tenor is the wrong word, but, you know, that kind of just clean voice and a little bit of a, kind of a sparkle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But her middle voice between the two extreme styles is kind of a belty, kind of raspy rock and roll voice.
Yeah, I was thinking that like she veers like Doro between, or Unleashed Archers or something like
and
that.
And she can go between them at will.
Yeah.
And the guitarist, this guy, Jack Costo, seems to understand not only
Where does he work at? he owns it now.
I'm sure. But, I mean, he has to veer between like catchy songwriting and then like technicality. These guys are from Boston. This band, the three other guys in the band are based in the Northeast around Boston. I wouldn't be surprised if they went to like, you know, like music school up there. Mm-hmm. And she's actually from Houston.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. I don't know if she lives in LA or Houston or both, but sometimes she'll come here on tour. And she'll, you know, stay, I guess, with her family out here and stuff. So,
no, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, she's from Houston. So it's kind of like rooting for a local, you know.
Hometown
hero.
Yeah, there you go.
I am really – this week, the thing that surprised me the most was how good this album was. And I'm kind of just stunned because I didn't think that this band was along that line of development. And I got it wrong, you know, because I think that – I just didn't see this coming. I don't think anyone really did. And one of the things I kind of pride myself on with the Metal Pigeon is being a good decipherer of like a band's strengths and weaknesses and where they are in their career and stuff. And that sounds very arrogant, but there's a lot of like metal bloggers out there who I respect and stuff, but they just have no real concept of like when a band is stumbling or when a band is, you know, about to hit something, their stride. Well, I got this one wrong. I pride myself on usually getting that kind of thing right.
I have a feeling this band they're going to tour a lot.
Yeah.
And that's going to give them a bigger name.
They're going to be hitting the road with Amaranth and the
Amaranth.
The
fall. Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah. I was saying, it's going to take that one tour, that one show, that one tour with Sabaton, that one tour with Nightwish or somebody like that. That would really, it's going to elevate these guys and make them that top echelon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they got the connections down because, you know, with the Avantasia thing, and she was also the vocalist on Sasha Paith's Master of Ceremonies.
Which was a good album.
I think he produced this record too. There's the new Seven Spiders.
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he had some involvement in it. I don't know if he was a producer or just did the mixing or what. Maybe he helped him out with songwriting, which wouldn't surprise me actually, given how crisp some of these songs are.
You might be right.
I don't know. I'm rarely am I this surprised by something just completely bowls me over.
And we got to talk about the album cover.
Yeah. Simon Belmont.
No, that's Alucard for sure, dude. It looks like, you know, he's on a boat. He's getting ready to go fight a giant sea demon, and Dracula's about to come out, and he's gonna. It looks like a fucking Castlevania album cover.
It makes this album has like a concept to it. It's about this sea captain who is being chased by that monster on the cover,
right?
And it's about this journey of the sea captain and how he's experiencing all these emotions during it. Interesting concept. It's not too layered and complex. It's just simple enough to be an allegory for a lot of things. I don't know, man. I haven't written my review for this yet. I'm trying to still process all my thoughts, but right now I just can't stop listening to the album, and it really has surprised the F out of me.
You can say it.
Just stunned, you know, like wow. I just didn't think this band had it in them. Because you go back and listen to that debut, it doesn't sound anything. I mean, it does. You hear the roots of what this could be, but the songwriting quality, it's like they just took like a 5-album leap into the future. So I'm completely on board with this band now. I'll be buying a shirt at the show, you know, totally on board with supporting these guys because
fangirling over here.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I know I'm onto something because some of the more curmudgeonly people on Reddit, people I talk to there have been like, oh, this is really fucking good. And these are guys who have like everything snarky to say about everything.
Right.
They're not saying that about this.
No snarkiness here, fellas.
No, it's genuine surprise, I think.
All right. So the song that you picked out is called what? Unmapped Darkness.
Unmapped Darkness, yeah. Because I think that there's songs in this album that are very aggressive and almost all screaming vocals. There's another song on here, Succumb, which is the first video and the first single, which is a gorgeous song, has a great hook to it. This song is more in the middle. It has all of her vocal aspects, the grim vocals, the screaming, belting kind of rock and rolly, then the clean vocals. And it's sparkly and it's heavy and it's got good riffs in there and it's got a really great solo and it's like the perfect amalgam.
A what?
Solo.
A solo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
you don't hear those too much anymore.
And they're really technical in these solos. Yeah. They remind me of Triosphere sometimes where it's just like these bursts of technicality that are really like held into check, like only 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and then it's done. But it's enough for you to go, oh, they can really play. They can flex when they want to. And there's something exciting about that, you know. A lot of bands in symphonic metal, they don't have the chops to be a symphonic metal band.
Yeah.
And then they just do kind of boring Within Temptation ripoff, kind of plodding, just generic riffs, and you're just like disappointed. Well, not this band. They have the technicality to back it up.
So. All right. So let's check out this is – what's the song? Unmapped Darkness from the album Emerald Seas. This is Castlevania. I mean, Seven Spires.
Yes.
The howl of the wind will sing me to sleep. The breath of the cold will devour me. I'll stay in love and I'll stay alive. Calling the chaos my home. I'll count every star and think what could be. A limitless sky full of dreams. One day. And one day I'll find what makes me.
Welcome back to MSRcast 233, and that Grave Image was a band called Death White.
That's right.
The album's called Grave Image. The song was In Eclipse. So this is your pick.
It is. It's something I've been really into recently. Out on Season of Mist Records, very Catatonia-like, you know? Just beautifully sad, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's just one of those albums that just grabbed me. It's just if you're a fan of that style of music, like Catatonia, a lot of clean vocals, a lot of I'm trying to figure out a great way to describe this band.
The vocals were very very stately sounding, like
stately.
Yeah.
Okay,
like
Catatonia,
like, yeah, very artfully,
yeah,
arranged and placed, and yeah, it was very Catatonia-esque. The vocals were I can't pick another vocalist that I can think of that it reminded me of, but I almost got an Anathema feel from some of from the way he approached the vocals.
It's that very late 90s,
yeah.
That Anathema, Paradise Lost style, the Peaceville Records, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Very much in that vein. They're melodic doom gothic. They're from Pittsburgh, actually.
Wow. No.
Yeah. This is their second full length album, called Grave Image. I really dig these guys.
I did not expect Pittsburgh.
I know.
No offense to anyone in Pittsburgh. I remember hearing a radio show, it was a rock radio show on I don't know what radio station it was on, internet radio station, and it was called Steel City Rocks, and it was all about rock scene in Pittsburgh, and it was just like hard, and it really was just like gritty rock and roll, hard rock, and that's my view of rock in Pittsburgh and metal in Pittsburgh.
It's probably I've never been there, but it's like a very industrial town, yeah. So very dreary. So it's a very dreamy and like depressive like soundscape of an album.
Yeah.
It's a great way. That's the words I was looking for.
Kind of matches the cover art too.
It does. Yeah. It very much does. I really dig these guys. I am listening to this album a lot right now. I don't know where it's going to wind up. You know, it's way too early to decide end of year, but as I'm listening to all these albums,
we can't think about end of year.
Well, as I'm listening to all these new albums, I'm creating a playlist of stuff that's above a certain threshold.
I saw that.
So, and that can change here and there, but this album is definitely in that list.
Hmm.
Yeah, check them out. They're called Death White. One is one name, one, you know, no space or anything. The album is called Grave Image, and it's on Season of Mist Records.
I promise myself I won't even mention year-end lists until September.
We'll start in March or April.
I just spent all that time doing that.
I know. I know. Before that, we had Seven Spires. Tell me a little bit more about that, because you didn't wax poetic enough on it.
I mean, well, the one thing, I mean, everyone should go check them out.
She's a great vocalist. I mean, I got to see her live with Avantasia last year. And I think she blew everybody away, especially when she started doing some of the heavy, you know, the Petro stuff.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? It was really cool.
You know, sometimes like on the show, like I'll bring stuff like tonight for this episode, I made a decision not to include, a new album by a band called Amberian Dawn, which is what I've been listening to a lot recently.
The new ABBA album.
This band is doing something really interesting with an ABBA influence, And it's actually kind of similar to what Dark Element's doing with Annette Ozone and Yanni from Insomnium X Not Artica. With this, it's like this pop metal, symphonic metal stuff that's influenced by ABBA. But I realize that sometimes when I bring stuff to the table like that for a show like this, it might be a step too far. So I realize that today that might appeal to only
you
10% of our audience.
Maybe.
So with Seven Spires, though, I think this is one of these bands that can appeal to a huge spectrum of metal fans, whether you're into extreme stuff or power metal or in between or all of it.
Yeah.
So very few times will I actually say unequivocally, everyone who listens to the show should go check out this album because they owe it to themselves to, and they would be foolish not to. You may hate it. You may not like it, or you may, you know, disagree with how good it is. But I think you owe it to yourself to listen to this album. There's also another band I'm going to be playing later that I'm going to emphasize the same thing. So, yeah, I don't do that often, but I think everyone should check that one out.
You did a little self-editing. That's strange.
Yeah. I was very conscious of that today. I was like, this is a specific thing to me. I love ABBA. So this is why that's right up my wheelhouse. Yeah. But the Amberian Dawn is a bit much for a lot of people, I think.
You ready to rock out?
Yeah.
So,
the rock and roll.
This rock out, man. This is a band called Black Swan. I'm not a big fan of the name, but
I just think of that movie.
Yeah. Right. This is a supergroup in every definition of the name. This features vocalist Robin McAuley. I think that's how you pronounce the name. Phenomenal vocalist. I met him a couple years ago when we were in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He is part of that Raiding the Rock Vault show that I had at one of the – was it the Hard Rock maybe? Yeah, the Hard Rock. And they did a meet and greet afterwards. I mean, we were waiting in line. He came up to us and like took pictures with us. You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
He's a really nice guy. Really nice guy. I always was, you know, a little a fan of MSG. Not, you know, amazingly. But those Michael Schenkerfest albums that came out, the songs that he did on them were some of my favorites. I really like his vocal cadence, his style. The rest of the band features bass player Jeff Pilson. You might know from Dokken, Rockin' Dokken. He's also, I think he's currently in Foreigner.
Foreigner, yeah, touring with him.
Yeah. Reb Beach from Winger and Whitesnake. And the drummer, his name is Matt Starr. He was in Mr. Big. Hate his fucking mustache. We watched a video earlier. his goatee mustache drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's annoying. But besides that, good drummer.
Yeah. I wonder if Reb's still touring with Whitesnake.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It was a great guitarist.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal guitar.
There's a lot of solos on this album.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Very guitar driven.
Yeah. If you're looking for, yeah, exactly. You're looking for a very well written, catchy, guitar driven rock record. This is probably top of the year. This is something really, really good. I don't get into a lot of this type of stuff. It's just somehow, you know, I like it. I enjoy it when I hear it.
It just feels like you've heard a lot of it before.
I feel like I've heard a lot of it, and I don't go natively searching for it.
Yeah.
If it comes across a playlist or something like that, I can get into it. And old co-host that have found out about this band is Kryptos, Papa Josh, posted about it on his Facebook page. I'm like, oh, I like Robin McAuley. I'm going to go check this out. Listen to it on the way home. I was like, wow, this is really fucking good and catchy.
Yeah.
I can't recommend it enough. It's really good stuff.
He also kind of – doesn't he look like why am I blanking on the name? Anthrax.
Joey Belladonna.
Belladonna, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He looks like –
his hair.
Exactly like
– one of the videos we were watching, there was like a silhouette of him with like smoke and stuff behind him. And just the silhouette, if you didn't tell anybody, I'm like, oh, that's Belladonna right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we first saw the video, it took me a minute of watching him to go – no, that's not him. That doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, there's the drummer's annoying goatee.
Is it? Oh, it's one of these.
Because it's like a Fu Manchu, like a long Fu Manchu
without the mustache,
but without the mustache part.
Yeah,
and I'm not blaming people on that because I don't like having mustaches
because
it annoys me. But I don't. You got to know where to like call it quits, dude.
Therion's old drummer had something like that. Yeah. I always thought it was the weirdest thing.
At least,
like,
it doesn't look like it's like penciled in, you know what I mean? All right. Besides the goatee, let's check out Black Swan.
Yep.
This is Big Disaster from the album Black Swan.
I'm
everyone. Back to the show. Back to the big show. Dawn of Solace. Did you think we were going to get another album from them?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even realize this was like a thing. Tuomo Selkänen, who is the main guy behind Dawn of Solace, he is also, if you recognize that name,
yep,
he's Mr. Wolfhart. And Mr.
The main man behind one of my favorite bands.
Yeah,
Wolfhart.
Yeah, and Black Sun Aeon and was it Before the Dawn?
Mm-hmm, Before the Dawn.
And all these other names that, you know, you have to go to Metallum to go find out.
Yeah.
And
but the thing is, he stopped doing all those other bands to focus completely on Wolfhart. Which is surprising that he went back and did this as a studio project, sort of.
I discovered this by accident. It was a recommended thing for me on Spotify, and I thought the album art was interesting, and I clicked on it and then looked him up on Metallum and thought, like, that name sounds familiar. Wait, Wolfhart. Oh, what the hell? And I didn't hear you say anything about it, so I put it I put it on the show notes tonight because I was like, does Carrie know about this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It came out in January, and it was on my release radar.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that the same band? And it was.
It's interesting.
Made me really happy.
Well, it's interesting that he's chosen to revive this album and also the way, I mean, what do you think of this? Because this is a really unique record, I think, for him, because it's all pretty much all clean vocals.
It's a little bit of harsh, but not much.
Maybe as like an effect or something, yeah. But I don't remember any
it's
harsh
an accent
vocals.
Type right. of stuff. It's not him singing. It's somebody else singing.
There's some guy named Mikko Häkkinen something.
Häkkilä. Yeah.
Häkkilä. Yeah. He's in a Finnish language melodeath band called Kaunis Kyllomaten.
Mm-hmm.
Which, which is, yeah, they've been around for a while. They only
but
sing Finnish.
Tomas, I guess I'm saying it correctly. Tuomas.
Mm-hmm.
He plays everything else on this album.
Yeah.
All the instruments are done by him. This is like the stuff he was doing before, which are side projects. And even Wolfhart, to a degree, is that way. Because when he plays live, he'll get local musicians from when he plays the state, he gets a local Houston guy to go out on tour with him.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to worry about visas and all that kind of shit.
Smart way to do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it cuts down your cost of touring, getting somebody over and worrying about that type of stuff, which is very difficult.
It's the Paul Di'Anno method, where he has a different band in every continent. It's brilliant.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. James Rivera does that.
Yeah.
He'll have a different band all around the country. They just go out and do cover shit.
Yeah. This is such a unique record because I didn't really know what to expect going into it. And I like it. There are parts where I sort of have an urge for a little heavier vocal.
Mm-hmm. It's not a heavy album.
It's not. It's very it's dark.
Dark and melancholic, yeah.
But it's all clean vocals and very emotive, expressive, kind of anathema-esque vocals. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of the time I think it works. And
I used to have this saying I would use for bands like this. It's an Assamean in nature.
Yeah. See, I haven't listened to the first one. I can't compare it to the first one. So
yeah.
I have no idea what context this is supposed to be in. And it made me wonder, like, well, why did he choose to release this project, resurrect this one of all the things he could have resurrected? You know, maybe it was just that need for just, I need something to release all my mellow stuff in, mm-hmm. channel that side of it, you know?
Because we're good to see him with Wolfhart in April on the Devastation of the Nation tour.
Yeah.
Right. With Bort Nagar.
Right. Yeah. April 13th.
Rotting Christ and some other bands on that tour. But
right.
Those are the only bands that matter.
Right. Yeah.
Wolfhart and Bort Nagar. Yeah.
I know that is the night I'm going to see Bort Nagar, and Wolfhart will be there too. Yeah.
Yep. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I still got a Wolfhart patch I need to get in my jacket.
Yeah.
When they played last year with, who was it? It was Warehouse Live.
Oh, with Jordan Abodum and Swallow the Sun.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was Children of Bodom?
Yeah.
I left early then.
Yeah.
That's right. I left after Swallow. I'm like, I'm done. Yeah, I need to be here any longer.
I'm glad I saw them because, you know, knowing what happened with the band since.
I did stick around for them, now that you mentioned it, for a little bit.
Yeah, I remember you guys there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still not the biggest fan of them.
No, but I mean, it's over now, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They lost their, you basically lost the name, right?
Yeah. My advice to Alexi, and he's not going to listen to this, but if I could talk to him, would be do not resurrect a form of that band for a while. Like, don't go out as, because he's been talking about, like, maybe I'll go out as just Bodum, because that's not copyrighted.
Mm.
It's like, actually pump the brakes on that, because early on in his career, he did good stuff with a band called Synergy. He's really good at writing, like, melodic power metal.
Kim Goss, right?
Yeah.
I interviewed her on that album.
And frankly, I would love to hear...
She used to be in Cradle, right?
His talent put to, like, something more melodic than that, you know, and bring a different singer in, do something creative. Like, do whatever it is you want to do that you couldn't do in Bodum. Just be, like, a guitarist for a while and just have fun. Don't force yourself to go do this Bodum thing again, you know?
Use your name. Use your recognition now, you know what I mean?
I think he needs something else creatively, an outlet to spark his overall creative juices again. So I hope he does it. I hope he doesn't.
Man, that sparked memories when you mentioned that Synergy, which I liked Synergy a lot.
I loved, yeah.
I remember doing that interview, and I remember Alexi being in the background talking while I was doing the interview.
Yeah.
Just brings back some memories. I'm like, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. I remember showing him where the gas station was when outside the engine room, walking with him to this gas station underneath or past this freeway. When I saw them open for Iced Earth in 2004.
Oh, wow.
He was like hung over. He's like, do you know where a gas station is? I'm like, yeah. I mean, and you know, the engine room was like out in the middle of nowhere in downtown. So like the next gas station was like four blocks down that way.
And to the left.
So
yeah.
Me and this other guy like walked with him down there.
I stop at that. I work downtown now. So sometimes I actually, if I don't plan and run out of gas, I'm trying to get home.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop at that gas station, which is super fucking expensive, number one.
Does it still have the Subway in there?
I don't think so. Not anymore.
Okay, yeah. I used to have a Subway in there. And that, if you went to a show...
If there was, I don't eat in that Subway.
If you went to a show in the Meridian, sometimes you didn't get a chance to eat before.
Yeah.
You just like run around the corner and grab a crappy sandwich from Subway. Good times.
We do that when we go to the Scout Bar. Yeah. There's a Subway right across the street there.
Yeah.
We'll do that sometimes.
Yeah. Scout Bar, usually I go to like Whataburger or something like that the road. Yeah.
Still trying to keep a little healthy, but
right.
You know,
yeah.
Try.
Yeah.
Speaking of, there's been some concert announcements recently.
Yeah.
A couple of them I'm debating on going.
There's a shit ton of tours happening this summer too.
So Testament just announced a tour.
Yeah.
Which I'm definitely going to that. Testament and who else is on that tour?
I don't remember that one. I mean, the big one that I was kind of bummed about, because I heard Faith No More was me touring this year, and I was like, okay, yeah, I want to go see Faith No More this year. I skipped them the last time they came around in Texas. So.
When did they come?
They were a couple years ago, I think.
No, they haven't played in a long time, dude.
But they were. But it wasn't here. It wasn't in Houston.
The last time I saw
Austin, I think.
The last time I saw Faith No More was 1994.
Yeah.
They opened up the Astrodome for Guns N' Roses and Metallica.
Yeah.
This is the only time I've ever seen them live.
I mean, a lawn ticket at the pavilion where they're going to be playing this amphitheater, you know, outdoor pavilion.
Yeah.
Lawn ticket being what it is, I mean, it's still going to set you back like $40. And it's like, man, but it is a co-headlining tour. I could just leave before Korn.
That's what I plan to do. And
I'm thinking about it. If I go, it'll be a lawn ticket.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm down to go, dude. It's the middle of August and in Houston at the Woodlands. It's not the most ideal.
No, it's not.
Environment, but being able to sing Faith No More live, I think it's going to be worth it. I think who's opening up Scars on Broadway, which is like Derek from System of a Down.
Yeah, it's the guy from System. Yeah,
yeah, and
some other band I don't care about.
Helmet might be on some shows, but maybe not here.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if I can get cheap enough lawn tickets, yeah, I probably will go. And the other band that I want to go see live is Primus.
Oh, are they coming back?
They're doing they're doing a tribute tour to Rush. So they're doing a Farewell to Kings in its entirety live.
Wow, that's cool.
And I'm sure they're going to do other, you know, greatest hit stuff afterwards. Right. Like the last time I saw Primus, they were on the Willy Wonka tour. So they did the whole album in its entirety. Then they came back, took a little break, and then they did a bunch of greatest hits type of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But seeing them do a fucking tribute to Rush, mm-hmm. and Les Claypool is like, why did we pick this album to do? Because it has Sickness on it.
All right.
Bottom line. That's what he said. I'm like, all right. I'm throwing it down. The cheapest tickets are $50 though.
Yeah.
At Toyota Center. No, wow. not Toyota Center, Revention.
Sorry. Oh, okay. I was going to be like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I got to see Primus with Rush, actually, back in the day. I know we discussed this before.
Yeah.
It was maybe 19, that, same around the same time, 90.
I knew they had toured together.
Six, maybe, yeah. 95, something like that. Can't remember. But yeah, that was awesome. I remember Primus coming out and doing YYZ in the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to get Alex or Getty to stop in on a couple shows or something like that. That'd be cool.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, if they're nearby, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who else is touring?
I mean, there's Megadeth, right?
Yeah, Megadeth.
It's the Bill.
Only band I want to see on that tour.
Yeah, I know. The Bill is kind of weird.
It's what? Megadeth, Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Who else is on that show?
I mean, I wouldn't.
Trivium?
I think, yeah. I mean,
somebody else.
I think Trivium would be fun. I think Maybe. Lamb of God would be entertaining live. Again, it's really down to the ticket. You know, I've already, not to make this a complaint fest or anything, but like I've already spent quite a bit of money on concert tickets. Not as much. I took advantage of sales, not as much as I could.
Me too. Same here. So Testament's touring with Black Dahlia Murder and Municipal Waste.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Municipal Waste is fun. I've seen them live. Black Dahlia is just, to me, everything sounds the same with Black Dahlia. I know I'm making people mad saying that.
No, that's really okay. Does. I've seen them live before. They're not my gig.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Trivium should have a new album out by then, I think.
The new Metallica album?
Yeah.
You know, I really liked that very first Trivium album when they came out. I'm like, oh, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was original. It was definitely, then, I don't know, somehow they just like, let's just steal riffs from other bands and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they definitely wore their influences on their sleeve, you know?
Oh, here's why I don't want to go to Megadeth show early. In Flames.
That was, yeah. But you know what's good about this whole situation? Look where they are in the bill.
They're the opening band.
Yeah, opening band.
So we get there late, see Trivium, take a long-ass break during Lamb of God, and see Megadeth.
I just listened to a new episode of the Josta podcast where he was talking about In Flames with a guy in the music industry. This guy was like, he works for like Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like why In Flames fans... old fans don't like their new stuff and stuff. Josta told the story about how they opened for In Flames for a certain select shows in Europe or something, mm-hmm. and they just blew the hell out of them, like off stage. You know, they
booed
their ass.
In Flames or booed Hatebreed?
No, they blew them off stage.
Like, oh, blew them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
said booed.
And In Flames came back and said to Hatebreed, like, yeah, we're never going to go up after you guys again. Because it was just flat for him or whatever.
Because they suck.
And Josta was saying that it's actually impacted them like on a business level because there have been tours that Hatebreed hasn't been able to get on because In Flames is there and In Flames is like, no, not Hatebreed.
Wow.
Pick another band to open. So they can't open for them on some of these tours they're trying to get on, you know? And so
I would much rather see Hatebreed on this tour.
Yeah. And Josta was like, so I guess I'm taking it as a compliment, but it's also frustrating.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny to hear that story because like they are so soft now that that In Flames, if they're doing a headline tour, for example, they probably don't want to have a heavy band on before them.
Right.
Because it will show them up and that stuff does matter, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, In Flames is I haven't liked them in a long time.
Yeah,
but I can understand, and I know they have a big fan base, and I know they probably have a bigger fan base than Trivium.
Yeah, but it's like, do you want to go on after Trivium?
No,
because Trivium for this show, Megadeth, Lamb of God, you're going to be playing like probably your heaviest set list.
Yeah.
Just to please the audience. And
I do want to see Megadeth because, I mean, Dave Mustaine just survived cancer.
Yeah.
I want to go see them live.
It feels like a good time to go see them.
Yeah.
I will say that.
And this is, again, at the Woodlands too, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a good bill, though. It's a great
They're calling it the Metal Tour of the Year. I don't know about that, but...
It could be.
No. It's not Bortnagar.
Well, yeah. I guess Metal Tour of the Year to how many people and whom. I mean, honestly, I'm salty about the idea that the fact that the Dragon Force Unleash the Archers tour
right.
is missing us.
I'd rather see those guys open up for Megadeth, you know?
Yeah.
But I understand a lot of it is business decisions and
yeah.
what's going to pull in more people and what's going to sell t-shirts and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And these bands, they might not be our cup of tea, but they have a huge following.
Yeah.
And that's going to...
So Adore's out of Lamb of God, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's out. Okay.
Yes, as far as I know.
I wonder if that would be, if he was still in there, that would have been awkward with him.
They're going to get another Adler. They're going to get Steven Adler.
Yeah. They could do worse. Steven's a great drummer.
Yeah, we're just going to replace Adler with an Adler. It's okay. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Testament, yeah. I mean, I wish they need to do that old school 80s thrash tour. So Megadeth needs to bring Testament and Exodus out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
Metal Church. They need to bring Metal Church out.
Yeah.
Well, fucking Flames. Bring yeah. Metal Church instead. Come on.
Yeah, In Flames seems like the odd band out there.
Bring Flotsam and Jetsam. Bring somebody that has a little bit of like thrash cred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you help me off the soapbox real quick?
I mean, I'm still surprised that Testament haven't put together a tour with like a massive tour with like Testament Overkill. I don't know what else, who else could fit in there.
Well, Overkill's touring with Exhorter, so
that's not a bad.
I'm going to that show for sure. I've never seen Exhorter live.
Yeah,
I'm not missing out.
And you love that album.
I do.
That came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of tours, and it's going to be one of those things where you're going to have to pick and choose eventually. So
I
feel like I'm going to every goddamn show in April.
I feel like it. There's like a week and a half period where just like. There's like
also
five or six shows for me.
Also, because late March is the Mayhem tour is coming through. We're going to that.
Mayhem,
so
yeah.
It's really from like the last day of March almost all throughout April. That's like many, many shows in a row.
That's why I'm sort of taking it easy the first few months at shows. Because yeah. it's that, yeah, just that one week in April, it's just, then and something else just got announced too, I think.
Yeah.
That's that week. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun and exhausting.
Yep. I'm looking forward to Insomnium, though.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I got VIP, like, meet and greet for that one.
Right. Well, now, yeah. man, I'm...
I just got my limited version of One for Sorrow. I'm going to get all my vinyl signed by them, you know?
I can't wait to hear the new songs live on that.
Yeah.
And now, again, Seven Spires, I get to see them live. And that's going to be...
Who else is on the tour?
I don't remember who else who the other band was. I don't know if that was. I think that might have been just Seven Spires.
I don't. It feels like there's one more.
Huh.
I'm going to look that up real quick. Well, keep on talking amongst yourself.
And then you know, so that's Saturday. Then the Monday after that is going to be Borknagar and Rotting Christ and.
Then that following weekend is Candlemass at the Hell's Heroes.
Hell's Heroes. That is more than just a show.
Yes.
Because you know, with a show, you know that's going to start at like 4. PM.
That's a problem. That's a busy day for me because that's also the day of one of my wife's work events, and we have to be there like at 5 or 6 in the morning.
Ugh.
And the next day, we have to get up and drive to San Antonio for a show.
So get to sleep early on Friday.
Just sleep all day Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy, man.
Hell's Heroes, my experience last year was I got there like just like shortly before 5 o'clock. I didn't leave until like 1 a.m. and I was exhausted, like trudging back to the car. I felt like I was about to fall down.
I'm excited to see Candlemass. I'm excited to see Salafay.
Every band on that bill, I'm excited to. I mean, I'm going to have to pick and choose at some point because upstairs, downstairs, but there's a couple I'm not going to miss. Yeah. And Candlemass is going to be a treat. I mean, that's one of those bands where I just never really got to. I never really thought I would ever get to see them.
No, agreed.
So,
still trying to look up Insomnia, who they're touring with, man.
I think that You know, the one thing I would like this year for a tour later down the road is something more in the vein of like a big power metal tour coming together. Because a lot of these bands are still doing the thing separately. You know, you have Hammerfall coming within a couple weeks of Amaranth and Seven Spires and Battle Beast.
Who would you want to be
Battle
on?
Battle Beast is on the Hammerfall tour. That's right. No, I forgot that.
Not Beast in Black. Beast in Black is on the Amaranth tour. Omnium Gatherum. How do we forgetting that? That's who's touring with since Omnium.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How the fuck do we forget that?
Yeah.
And Seven Spires. Yeah. Good show.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You have to have these weird, awkward things with the Omnium Gatherum frontman.
That's right. We got to do that again.
The weird hand gestures.
Those guys are awesome, though.
They're great.
They're great. I love those guys.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into another band from Finland. You want to talk about this?
Yeah.
This is a little weird. Right now they're called Dead End Finland. Just like, you know, there was Drain STH and Ghost BC and all these bands that have to put where they're from after their name, I guess.
You think they're going to change it?
I don't know. Apparently they used to... I don't know a lot about these guys. I just got into them recently. Until 2010, they were called Dead End.
Okay.
Now they're called Dead End Finland.
Copyright lawsuit or something.
I guess. But their first full-length album came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So the new album is called Inter Vivos. These guys are on Inverse Records. Very Soilwork-ish. But it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Very, very chord keyboard-driven, yeah. Heavy, just, you know... When we say Finnish, they mean you do hear a little bit of that Finnish mellow death style to them, but there's a lot of Swedish like influences to these guys.
Yeah.
So I enjoy them a lot. I mean, this new album, Inter Vivos, only one I've heard so far, it just came out. I need to go back and check out some of their older stuff too. But yeah, even the album cover, it's very much in that same vein. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was like modern sounding without being like glossy, which was nice to hear, because sometimes like overproduction can ruin this type of thing.
Right.
Which I have felt that sometimes Soilwork crosses the line on a bit.
Overproduction?
Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit too much stuff going on where it's like these guys are still heavy. At least that's the sense I got listening to the song. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So check out. This is the song we're going to play. It's called Closer to Extinction from Dead in Finland. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to MS Overcast 233.
What was that?
And are you feeling pumped up? What did I say?
You sort of slurred it a little bit.
233?
No, MSRcast. And we should have another drink. That might help.
You know, MSRcast.
There you go.
Do mumblecore on the podcast.
No, never.
Temperance.
Yes, I don't know anything about these guys.
So they're from Italy. I think I talked about them a couple episodes ago last year about how I had just started listening to their album. Actually, I had listened to the album. They released an album a year ago or a little more than a year ago called Of Jupiter and Moons.
Okay.
And I got really into it. I reviewed it at the time, and then I came back to it later in the year because they started releasing singles for this album, Viridian. Viridian just came out in January sometime, late January. And this is one of those bands that, again, you know, years and years of just sort of not being moved by Italian power metal. And then recently, in the past like 2 to 3 years, it's just switched over to where there's all this great stuff coming out from Italy. And a lot of it is probably by genre veterans, you know, like last year's really good Luca Turilli, Fabio Leone record.
Yeah.
And then this is a new band. They've been around just for a few years now. And they're unique. They have three singers. One of them's also the guitar, you know, the main guitarist and the songwriter. But they have the guy, Michelle from Visions of Atlantis. He's also in that band. And then Alessia Scaletti, she's the lead vocalist, the co-lead vocalist. And it's just like this soaring sort of uplifting kind of vocal heavy symphonic metal. And it's really light on the symphonics and more heavy on the vocals. And one of the things I like about it is just like being a fan of really good melodic vocals, this is sort of just an album full of ear candy. This their whole approach is just like vocal melodies first, everything else kind of second. So you have to be into that. It's not a guitarist's album. Mm-hmm. There's good guitar parts on there, but you have to be a fan of like melodic vocals for this album to kind of take root.
I don't think it's taking root for me.
Yeah, no, I totally get how this could be one of those things where it's like you're either inclined to like it or this is just totally, you know, bouncing off your ears and stuff. But to me, they're exciting. Just the songs are the songwriting is the guy who the main songwriter, Marco, he just knows how to write songs for three voices. And they're none of them are harsh. It's all clean singing and they all have enough variation in their approach to where you can tell who's singing. And it's almost like an inverse of what Amaranth is doing, where they have like very sharp, you know, changes between clean vocals and harsh vocals. No harsh vocals here. So it's I don't want to compare them to Amaranth because I think they're actually better than that band.
Mm.
But it's along that same vein of
what about Delane?
Would I compare them to Delane?
Yeah. Early, maybe earlier Delane?
No, I would. Delane's always, I think Delane's more symphonic. These guys are more rock inflected, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. I will say that new Delane album is surprisingly good.
They were super nice to me when I met them.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the
horrible album cover?
Aside from the horrible album art and the title and the lyrics and the song titles, which are just cringe. I gotta say, like, I was listening to it the other night, and it was pretty good. It was pretty catchy and kind of surprisingly heavy.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe that band's onto something now. As much as they can be.
They have a huge fan base. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're, you know, playing above Amorphous.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. So before that was Dead in Finland, Closer to Extinction was a song from the album Inter Vivos. Great, you know, melancholic, so like a Finnish, Swedish crossover type thing, you know? Like imagine, it's just imagining crossover, matching up Floral Work with like Amorphous.
Yeah.
With a lot more keys, a lot more, you know, heavy keys, like like Prague style keys, you know, which is not just like, it's not an accent, it's more of an actual instrument in the band.
Right.
Not all the bands do that well.
Yeah.
This band actually really does.
Right.
So.
I mean, speaking of keyboards and being the primary thing, I mean, the new Night Flight Orchestra single, which we're not playing tonight. I'm definitely going to talk about it when the album comes out. But that new single is very keyboard heavy.
Yes.
And
they're getting way away from the 80s hard rock into the 80s like synth rock stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're following the course of the 80s.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like how it actually went. And
They started in 84.
Yeah.
Now they're going into about 86 right now, 87.
Yeah. I actually think they might have, their mental thing, they might have started like in the 83 or 82. Or
yeah, something. Maybe so.
Yeah, that, because I remember that first album was very like, that line between the 70s and the 80s.
That's right.
It's such an interesting project. They never really talk about that stuff out loud. They just expect you to follow along with it.
And figure it out, yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to talk
Speaking about. Of... sounding like Soil Work.
Yeah.
What are we gonna get into next?
You have the list. I have lost track of what we're doing.
We're doing Dark Forest next. Okay. A band that you have brought to our attention, which I've never heard before.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard of them until about 2 weeks ago. Thanks to Kyle and Andrew from the Powerful Podcast for the recommendation.
Thank you.
They I think stumbled upon it recently too.
Yeah.
And I can't stop listening to this record. They're from England. There are six bands called Dark Forest on Metallum.
Is that it?
Most of them are black metal. So this is the one from England that plays heavy metal. So, but it's heavy metal with a power metal tinge. They're closer in spirit to like early 90s and mid-90s Blind Guardian than they are to, say, Dragon Force. They're rooted in real heavy metal tradition. Songwriting is very mid-tempo, very focused on epic builds and stuff. They're just a amazing band because these songs are...
Well, their album covers aren't very amazing.
I actually kind of like that art, but that's an aside. The approach they're taking with the band is like, we're writing epic songs. We're not sacrificing melody to make sure they're epic. And we're doing unusual things with the vocals. Like the vocalist, this guy, has a voice that reminds me of like Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull mixed with like Bruce Dickinson at times, like Bruce Dickinson's solo era, like Skunk Works era.
Yeah.
And it's a voice that blurs like all the time between those two influences, and almost like the guy from Primordial too. It kind of like leans that direction. It's unrestrained and wild. It's like he's a storyteller, you know, in a way telling you these stories. And I don't know, it's just really, I think everyone should listen to this record. Again, going back to that, like me hammering that in, I think this is worth checking out, because if you're into, you know, like your power metal interest only extends to like Blind Guardian, Imaginations era stuff, this is probably the album for you, because it's along that same lines of like, it's gritty and grounded and earthy and heavy, but it's still got the kind of majesty and the lift and the epicness that you want. I'm so impressed with it. And this album came out in 2016, the song we're playing from.
Yeah.
They have a new album coming out in April 24th.
Oak, Ash, and Thorn.
Yeah, and I'm so looking forward to it now, because good timing to get into this band, you know, like a couple months before their album's coming out.
Sure.
And it's weird to hear this band coming from England, because there seems to be something happening over there right now, like rumblings of a...
They're on Cruz del Sur Music.
And Cruz del Sur has so many creative bands on that roster. They're one of my favorite rosters right now. Just unexpected stuff.
They've always had really good stuff.
Yeah, and all these bands sound like wildly different too. And so the fact that they're on there, I think, should be enough of an endorsement beyond me blathering on about them to go check them out.
All right, so let's get into it then.
Yes.
When
the Arrow Falls, Dark Forests.
Beyond the Veil is the name of the album. Check it out.
Oh,
And we are back doing the psychotic waltz. It's close to the toxic waltz, but you don't bang your head just as much as you do when you do the toxic waltz.
A lot of waltzes in metal.
There is a lot of waltz. This is the first album from these guys in 1996.
Jeez.
Yeah, been a while.
I think that 96 album is what I had on cassette.
Bleeding?
Yes.
That's yeah.
The one I had.
So, they're a progressive metal band. They've had different bands. So, the main vocalist of this band is a guy named Buddy Lackey. He also goes by the name of Devin Graves. With just him as the vocalist, he's been on a bunch of Arion stuff. The Shadow Theory, which was a great band he did. Dead Soul Tribe, who I'm a huge fan of. I really, really liked this album. I knew it was coming out. I heard a couple tracks they released earlier on Spotify, and it's hard to believe there's a new album out after so many years, you know?
So it's like he never left music. He just did other things after the band.
That's correct.
Ended. What about the other guys? Are they all back, or is it a new lineup?
It's the same, mostly the same lineup that I know of.
Yeah.
I don't think they really did anything outside of that. Not really.
Yeah.
But, so if you like heavy, progressive metal, that's sort of dark at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys were definitely, and they have some interesting hooks in this band. It's not like your typical verse hook type of band.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that they do, it's earwormy, but not at first. You go back and listen to it, you're like, oh wow, I dug what they did on that song with the break here or the vocal line he did here, and it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, in the
not traditional in any way.
Yeah, it's very. If you don't like Dream Theater, you might actually like this band
because they're nothing like Dream Theater.
Because it's progressive, but it's very scaled down and organic.
Yes, organic's a great word.
And rust, and their sound is kind of like, you know, rootsy and rustic almost, but it's very, you know, there is progressive element,
and it's dark too.
Yeah, it's dark. Yeah, I mean, it's they're a weird band because they have these two sound worlds colliding that you don't think normally would collide. Progressive music usually is kind of like, you know, cleaner and shinier a little bit.
Yeah.
So these guys are heavier than the normal progressive band,
and they're currently on Inside Out Records,
yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a great label for them to be on, yeah. So I would definitely check out the album. This is when I was listening to the album for the first time. This song stuck out, but we were just watching the music videos earlier. And they're really cool. Go on YouTube and watch some of these videos. It's just weird, hand drawn,
spacey
visuals. It's really cool. Devils and Angels is really good. Sisters of the Dawn towards the end of the album is really, really strong. It's just a good album. I really like it. There's a song, from Dead Soul Tribe called Spiders and Flies. One of my favorite songs. It feels like it's still in that vein. You know what I mean?
Were you fans of these guys like back in the heyday?
A little bit. I didn't know about them before. I really became an Arion fanboy. Then I tried to go back and listen to. I'm going to check out these artists that he's been working with. So that's how I got sort of into some of the old Psychotic Waltz stuff. Doesn't sound as polished as what they do now, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I got into Dead Soul Tribe. That's really where my jam was.
Yeah.
But yeah. Dark progressive metal, man.
I bought this at a used music, or I think it was like Record Rack or something back in the day, like used cassettes. You know, it was just like one of those things where it's like cassettes were a good way to find metal and like you didn't know about.
Yeah.
It looked metal.
Right.
It's like, well, it was only $1, you know, because cassettes were there at this time. They were getting rid of a lot of these used cassettes. So it was one of those things I just kind of randomly picked up and, and didn't know, and never really bothered to explore the band. I liked that album. I thought it was okay. I just hadn't heard it in a long time. In fact, when I listened to this on Saturday night, I went the next day and went back and listened to the older stuff.
Yeah.
I remembered a lot of that stuff. It had been like all those years, probably since 96, since I had heard it, or 97
oh, wow.
or 98 or whatever that was.
Yeah, 96.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's cool. Good, they're back.
So what, 24 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of bands are making their comeback.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to think that 1996 was almost 25 years ago. Jesus Christ. All right. Moving away from the dark and depressive, let's talk about Dark Forest, who have dark in their name but are not dark and depressive.
No, they're not dark and depressive. But, it you know, again, the aggression's there.
Yeah.
It's not shimmery power metal. It's very...
very raw. Yeah, it's very, very raw. It feels very... like you said, Ian Hunter before, right?
Ian Anderson,
I'm sorry. Yeah, Jethro Tull. It definitely has that 70s fantasy hard rock edge to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, all these bands, no matter where they come from, them being from England's unusual because in England, power metal, it's really trying to find its way. Ever since Dragon Force came out, there really hasn't been anything that's come out after it that's been... you know, earth shaking, and
mm-hmm.
that scene is so weird. These guys are rising out of there and really making an impact, I think, because they have a sound that is kind of rooted in authentic. You know what they remind me of, actually, is Skyclad.
Oh.
That's another band that's rooted. And so I hear a lot of that influence coming up, and I don't know if it's deliberate or if it's just me, you know, hearing things or whatever, but in the melodies, but they're very folky melodies. And, I don't know. This new album is going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about this band again pretty soon. So I'll save it for
yeah, because they have a new album coming out.
In 2 months.
Yeah. So let's talk about stuff that's coming up tomorrow as we're recording this. I know Demons and Wizards. Do you know what else is coming up that you're looking forward to?
Really, I mean, the only thing I can think about is Demons and Wizards.
Really?
Really, yeah.
I know there's a new On Thorns I Lay album coming out soon.
Okay.
New My Dying Bride. And it's not tomorrow, but...
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, is that tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
I wish.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to listen to that Sepultura album for sure.
I think you'll dig it.
And because I kind of liked the last one, I remember. I half liked it. But yeah, Demons I'm going to listen to tonight, actually.
I'll probably be asleep, but I'll listen to it in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 2 hours away, so...
Yeah, it's true.
For that.
You going to go pick it up? Or what are you going to do?
No, just Spotify.
You're going to...
Yeah.
You're going to buy it digitally, or... Support your band? Come on.
I mean, you know, I would love to support. Again, I'm going through that process now where it's like, how do I support bands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll figure out something. If it's worth buying, you know.
Buy the vinyl.
People will buy things, but like, I don't have a vinyl collection. I've sort of put to bed the idea of a CD collection now. So I've just embraced the Spotify and the, you know, streaming. It's
you live in the digital life.
Live in the digital life.
Live your best. Be the best you.
Yeah. I mean, $10 a month for all the music I can want. I can't not do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in. We're going to get into our last band of the evening. But before that, we have a little housekeeping we need to do. You've been listening to MSRcast, of course. I've been Carrie the Metal Geek.
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
You had to think about that for a second.
Surely you know who I am.
I know who you are. How long have you been on the show now? How many years has it been?
So I did my first episode in like March or April 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Coming up on an anniversary.
Those were bad. I was kind of bad on those episodes.
No, you weren't. How? No.
I went back and listened to them recently, actually.
Did you really?
Scrubbed through them.
We got a lot of our old episodes are sort of lost in the ether, and we got messaged by one of our fans recently.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Because we, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, we switched over providers, servers,
yeah.
And a lot of the old stuff got lost. So we need to figure out, maybe just re-release it somehow. Maybe a few every month we'll re-release a few episodes. I don't know if I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning. I don't even know if I have all the way back to the beginning. So if you're a fan out there and you have any MP3s in your collection of MSRcast from back in the day, yeah, reach out to me.
Like if you're one of those guys who just never clears their iTunes down.
Yeah, for sure. MSRcast@gmail.com. I would love to get some of the old episodes and maybe re-release them, you know?
I think someone was asking us for the David Gold tribute.
Yes. That's correct.
If someone has that, I would like to hear that again myself.
I got to see if I can find that one. I might have that one backed up on a hard drive somewhere. Yeah. I have a lot of that stuff backed up, but it's just, do I have the version that I actually released, you know what I mean,
right,
that I uploaded? We'll have to take a look. That was a really great episode.
That was. I remember that one.
So, yeah, if you have any episodes, even going back early days, let me know. Hit me up. Of course, that's msrcast@gmail.com. You have any questions or any comments, or you have any concerns, or you have a request, you want us to cover your band, anything like that, send us an email there. You can find us all over the internet at MSRcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those good places. And you can find my co-host here all over the internet as well at The Metal Pigeon,
mm-hmm,
on as well. You're on Twitter and Instagram, right? And Facebook. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
And themetalpigeon.com is where you're going to go to find all his great articles and reviews and everything. Everything he so eloquently writes that I think about, but I can't get out. Except there's been a few we disagree on, but we're not going to go there right now. That's it. Where else? Well, you can find us, of course, on all the special places, like down below. No, I'm joking. You can find us on all the places you get you download your podcast, your Spotify or your iTunes. It's not iTunes anymore. It's your Apple Music or Stitcher or all those places. Any podcaster. App that you have, just search for MSRcast or Metal Geeks. You're going to find both of our shows there.
What app do you use for podcasts?
I've been using this app. I've been using it for years. It's called Downcast.
I've heard of that
one. Yeah, I paid a couple bucks for it, so I enjoy it. It downloads everything in the background. It's really simple and easy to use. And I never went back to the Apple app. The podcast app.
It's terrible.
Is it still terrible?
From what I've seen on people's iPhones.
Okay, yeah.
But
what do you use?
Not to promote the big mega corporation, but I'll say like Google Podcast apps is like pretty damn good.
It's on but you have a different style phone than I do. You have a Google phone, right?
No, Android.
You have an Android phone.
But I mean, it's just lightweight, doesn't take a lot of resources, and doesn't download stuff. It's just all streaming.
Really?
So you don't have to worry about like accidentally like clogging up your phone with stuff. Which is my biggest beef with podcasts.
All mine is downloaded. Yeah.
Yeah. I just stream now.
There's some shows I got on there. I'm like, oh, I haven't caught up. And it's like, you're behind 93 episodes. I'm like, fuck.
And then you wonder why your phone's like slowing down. You're like, oh, there's all this crap on there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No, Google Podcast apps. I recommend trying it.
All right. Yeah. Do you listen to podcasts through Spotify at all?
Some of them I do, because now Spotify's doing like exclusives now.
That's right. They're featuring. They're
buying up all these.
They are. They're really, really doubling down on podcasting.
Yeah, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
More power to them.
That's right.
It just elevates podcasts, so.
Yeah. There's only, besides us, there's only, what, 1 million other ones?
Yeah, but, you know, with metal podcasts, there's not that many. They're like still going and active. Like there's a lot that have been around and they kind of stopped being updated.
So, we've been going, holy crap.
This is,
years now.
I will stake it and say this is the longest running and most consistent podcast on metal out there.
All right. I don't know if I can accept that, but sure.
Definitely the longest running by far.
And yeah.
Consistent. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not an everyday consistency, but
sure.
Consistent.
There's a definition of the term in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. There's been different iterations of the show, but we always go back to what made me start the show, and that's the music.
Yeah.
Playing metal, discovering new metal, playing stuff that we grew up on and stuff that we want fans of the show to learn about.
Yeah.
That's my only goal for this whole thing that I do. And even with Metal Geeks, the only goal I have is to make our listeners happy,
right,
and for them to discover new things and for us to discover new things.
Yeah.
And to hang out with my buddies.
With here and on the blog, you know, when someone tells me, like, I started listening to this band because of your
recommendations,
like, that's all I need.
That's right.
That makes my day for why I do.
I mean, if you want to write us a check for $1 million, I'll take that too. But
yeah, I wouldn't say anything about that.
But yeah, I do appreciate, I'm not trying to get sappy here, guys, but I do appreciate everybody listening to the show for so long. I appreciate my new co-host here, and you're not new, but it's like being Andy Daris being the new
running co-host of the show now.
You might be.
This is bizarre.
That's like calling like Andy Daris is like the new vocalist of Helloween. He's been in
the Vivian Campbell of that podcast.
That's right. You're the Tommy.
Yeah.
Because you've only been in the band longer than anybody else.
Who's the quote unquote new guy in Priest? Was it Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
There's two versions of the Priest now, sort of. There's KK's Priest, and then there's, yeah, so, I mean, he's got a good lineup. I mean, he got Ripper in the band. He has one of the original drummers back in the band.
I mean, honestly, like, if they went and played at Scout Bar,
I'd go see it.
I think I'd go see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would. I still feel weird about the entire thing of, like, you wanted to retire, and now you're out here doing tours and clubs.
A lot of bands do that whole, they split off and there's two different versions, but this isn't really doing that.
But this is different than the Portnoy thing, where Portnoy said, I wanted the band to take a break, you know, so we could all recharge and come back creatively. And then they didn't want to take a break and he did. And so he got kicked out basically.
Right. But look where he's gone. He's doing better than he was in Dream Theater.
But KK wanted to retire and go play golf. That's what he said when he retired.
How much golf can you fucking play?
And I get like having remorse of like, no, I thought I was ready to retire, but now I'm not.
Yeah.
But to be as salty about it as he has been throughout the press and stuff, and now to come back with KK's Priest, it's weird. It's just strange. It's a strange thing.
I'm interested in it. I would go see them live. I would definitely listen to it. I like Ripper. If it's in the same vein as what Priest is doing now, I'm down for it for sure.
Does it make sense that he has Ripper on board, or is it sad that he has Ripper on board?
No, a little A and B.
Yeah.
I can see Ripper is the only other person who deserves to be in a Priest style band like that. So he did his time in Priest.
Right.
He did a great job.
They could get the guy from Riot City and he would be perfect for it.
Yeah, that's true.
As for that band, sounds exactly like Alfred.
But he doesn't have the recognition of of a Ripper.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
What a strange news article to read.
Yeah, that would surprise me. And like his Facebook page was something completely different too.
Yeah.
KK something of something. I can't remember what it is now.
Yeah, it's weird.
But you know, if he's not ready to retire yet, he's not ready to retire. He still has a big fan base out there. And if he's going to do, he's not going to be able to play huge venues. It'll be a small club like Scout Bar.
But, you know, freaking Steve Harris with Scout Bar.
I'll fuck and, you, dude. And I should have still gone.
I guess KK is going to be there too. So this is the new thing.
Yep. I go see. We'll go see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll definitely be at that show. Let's wrap up. Last band of the evening. Is a band called Aeonian Sorrow. They are a funeral death doom band with haunting beautiful female vocals and the super guttural, like harsh vocals from the male vocalist. Really fucking awesome band. This song is about 9 minutes in length. It's called A Hopeless Suicide, and it's from a brand new EP that just came out called A Life Without. It's independent thing. It's a digital release. January 27th. If you like this, go support them. Go to their Bandcamp. Buy the album. It's really cheap. The song is called Hopeless Suicide from the EP called A Life Was Out. This is this really slow, epic funeral doom metal, melancholy. That's like the term of the episode. Everything's sad and melancholy, but I'm not sad and melancholy right now. Yeah, but the music I listen to is.
That's why we put Temperance in there.
to balance it out. Should have played Freedom Call to really like, you know, change your, what's the word when you like have something between meals? Your palate cleanser. Yeah. Please check out these guys, support them. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 233 of MSRcast. I have been Carrie the Metal Geek along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
One last thing I have to say, my friend.
Keep it metal.
Hey, I was going to say that.
All right.
Can I still say it?
Say it.
All right. Keep it metal.
I hear to remember.
Another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.